Today on Real Radio.
Think of the reality of it. They've got the information. They've got the model. They've got the word. They know that innocence must be offered up. They're going through the practice, but the substance they don't have. It's all about family. It's all about coming together. It's a beautiful, awesome time of the year. Our dear friends are practicing Passover. The school is out. Things are shut down. Everything is focused on this glorious time of the year in Israel, and for that matter, for Jews all around the world. Year after year they do this, but there's no temple and there's no animal sacrifice. But listen, even if there were a temple and even if there were animal sacrifices, the truth is the Lamb of God has come.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of lessons that commemorate what is arguably the most pivotal and significant point in history, Passion Week. We're talking about the days leading up to the arrest of Jesus of Nazareth, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Promised Passover.
When we consider this week and as we look to this resurrection Sunday coming, and as Marty correctly pointed out, that in Israel, this Monday, a few days ago, Passover celebration began. As we were in the hotels, as the hotels were getting ready for the rabbis to come and inspect the hotels and the kitchens for any leaven that might be around, they were preparing the kitchens for cleanliness, that there'll be no trace elements of leaven, a symbol, a type of sin. Busy, some of the hotel personnel said, "We really don't like this time of the year. It's very difficult for us. A lot of hard work." And my friend, our friend Amir, had commented, "Isn't it a shame that what should be a joyous time, the rules of men have made it a chore and a difficulty and a challenge." And I want you to think tonight, before we go into our next time of worship, that Jesus Christ, as we consider the theme beyond, love beyond, when we talk about our God, that Jesus Christ was the promised Passover. He was the Passover. We asked our friends this week in Israel who do not yet know the Lord, but they know the word, but they don't know the Lord. We shared with one great brother, I say brother, I love him. He doesn't yet see. The veil is yet upon his eyes, but we shared with him as from the scriptures that Jesus is the promised Passover. And we talked about how Abraham looked ahead by faith, right? We know that. Abraham looked ahead by faith at the coming of the Passover lamb. And you know that on Mount Moriah, he lived that act out prophetically with Isaac, his son. And we talked to our Hebrew friends, and they know the story. They know the account. They know the event. But what's awesome to realize is that Abraham, before circumcision, before the giving of the law, Abraham, frankly, by God, called out of Ur of the Chaldees, the first Jew was a Gentile. You ever think of that? Before the law, before circumcision, how did this happen? The Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, that the just shall live by faith, does it not? The just shall live by faith. Do you have faith tonight in the one whom God had promised when Isaac was there just about to be seemingly sacrificed, the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham's hand, and the word was given that the Lord himself will provide the lamb. Think of it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year after year, think of it, can make those who approach perfect. For then there would not have been the ceasing of the offering, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Right now, our Jewish friends around the world are celebrating Passover, and yet there is no temple for them in their minds to go offer up a lamb. Think of the reality of it. They've got the information, they've got the model, they've got the word. They know that innocence must be offered up. They're going through the practice, but the substance they don't have. It's all about family. It's all about coming together. It's a beautiful, awesome time of the year. Our dear friends are practicing Passover. The school is out. Things are shut down. Everything is focused on this glorious time of the year in Israel, and for that matter, for Jews all around the world. Year after year they do this, but there's no temple and there's no animal sacrifice. But listen, even if there were a temple and even if there were animal sacrifices, the truth is the Lamb of God has come. Jesus has come. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or even a blood moon or a brown moon for that matter. I got up and I looked at it from my backyard and it was brown. But anyway, or Sabbaths, it says, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. This is how the just lives by faith. That tonight you would recognize tonight that the just, meaning justified, isn't it amazing? Tonight we celebrate that you can be justified by faith in what? In whom? In the sacrificial lamb, as we'll hear later, that takes away the sins of the world. Marty said it a moment ago. Think of it. Honestly, really, do you believe really that either your good works and efforts can take away your sins? Honestly, come on. Do you honestly believe that some lamb or some goat or some turtle dove can be offered up before a priest and the blood of an animal could literally remove the sins of a human? Think of it. And the Bible says that all of those things that were happening before Christ came pointed to the fact that he would come. And Abraham was declared righteous by his faith in God. Now, this is something to praise and to worship and to sing about. That this week, and who are we? Honestly, I think of myself, you think of yourself. Having just come from Israel, I look at the people, I look at what God is doing there, I see their passion. And they come all the way up unto the moment. We, Lisa and I, were sharing with a dear friend of ours, and we were marching through the Old Testament scriptures, and you got to hear this. And I'm wondering right now if he's not watching right now on his channel in Israel. And he's listening, And we're going through Genesis, and we're going through the Levitical offerings and what it's pointing toward, the blood. And we're looking at the lamb, and we're talking about Exodus, and we're looking at the prophets. We're speaking about Isaiah. We're looking at into Micah of where the Messiah would be born. And we read there in Psalm 2 and in Proverbs that God has a son. And we came to the punchline. And right before I had a chance to say it, Lisa shoulder hopped me and said, "What are you going to do about this information? What are you going to do?" And all along the way, he's going, "Yep, yeah, I know this. I've heard this. I got that. Yep, And then when it came right to the moment, right to, as it were, putting your foot in the Jordan or in the Red Sea, you could see the toe hovering over. You could see his heart. You could see it in his mind. He knew the truth from his prophets. And there was a pause, and he simply said, "If I had a chance to do it all over again, I would believe exactly as you believe now." And we said, "You do have a chance to believe again." So this week in history, Jesus remarkably made his way day after day. This week, he would present himself to Israel. Having entered into the city, having come down that Mount of Olives path, the Palm Sunday path, for the first time in his earthly ministry, he presents himself as king. And all along the way, all that transpired that week, which was necessary, questions were asked of him. Things were demanded of him. He was laid out, as it were, before the hierarchy, the leadership. And they challenged him in all kinds of areas. At times, they even tried to trip him up with trick questions. They hired false witnesses to try to condemn him. What was going on? What's amazing is all the while that week, while Jesus was being examined and interviewed, as it were, and questioned, the priesthood of Israel, they were doing the same, actually. Josephus tells us that some 256,000 lambs were being inspected for the offering, for the people who had gathered. And what was the requirement? An unblemished lamb, right? Had to be perfect. So with all of the examination, now I don't know exactly what they did, but as they looked at each little lamb, I would imagine checked the teeth, they checked the bones, they made sure there was no marks on that woolly little thing. It had to be perfect. And as they're going around, imagine they're going around and they're, you know, making sure there's not a bone broken and nothing is out of place. I would imagine, I guess I would think, you know how you grab your dog sometimes to look at it right in the face to talk to it? They probably looked right at that lamb and they looked at the level of the eyes and the nose and everything. They examined it for perfection. The same time that was going on, the Sanhedrin and others had gathered and they were doing the same thing to Jesus. They were questioning him. They were looking at him. And by their tactics of skepticism and doubt, and let's be honest, there was hatred in that as well. They wanted him dead. Not for the same reason why we're glad he died. They wanted him dead so that they would never see him again. Little did they know, it was a borrowed tomb he would use that weekend. But they wanted him done. He had threatened their professional religion. Jesus presents himself. Think about it. He presents himself this week approved. Listen, he said, everything I've said nothing in secret. Don't you love that? You want to talk about a transparent leadership? Jesus said, everything I've said publicly. And the nation had a chance to watch him and listen to him. The Bible tells us that the Messiah would be recognized. Isaiah 35 tells us that you'll be able to know who he is. He'll open the eyes of the blind. Did Jesus do that? In fact, not only did he do it, listen, even his greatest detractors, the ones who hated him, even admitted his miracles are top-notch. Remember when he said that he was the I am, the ego and me. He said, why do you pick up stones to kill me? For the miracles I've done? And you could see them, oh, they're in the windup. It's like they're on the mound and they're like this and they stop right there. No, 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 the miracles are fantastic. We love the miracles. The miracles are great miracles. We're going to stone you because you, being a man, declared yourself to be God. This was the Lamb. Those questions and that interrogation had to happen. If there would have been a flaw in our Jesus, they would have flushed it out. I'm so grateful for them, really. Little did they know they were fulfilling prophecy, though. They were looking for lambs while the Lamb stood in front of them. And Jesus had told the disciples before he left the Galilee, as they began to pull up the pegs of the tents or whatever to head down to Jerusalem, the Bible says that he would set his face like flint to Jerusalem. And as they were going, he told the disciples, I go to Jerusalem and I will be betrayed. I'll be arrested. I'll be scourged. I'll be beaten. And I'll be killed, but on the third day, I'll be raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us that they didn't get it. It didn't click with them. Everything's working according to plan. Listen, Exodus tells us, Exodus 12, listen to this. I love how it escalates and it goes personal. Listen, Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel and say, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. A lamb. According to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. That would have been a minimum of 10 people. If you didn't have 10, you'd invite somebody in until you reached the number 10. And if the household is too small the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, I love it. Listen to the progression. Your lamb. So it goes, a lamb, the lamb. Now it's your lamb. You can have a religion. You can have the religion. But unless you have your lamb, you ain't got no religion. You just have what? Notice it's personal. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. There was the sign. Now, I don't know. I've heard this. I've read this in some really great commentaries. Don't know if it's true, but I want it to be true. That when you take blood and put it on the doorpost, that's the uprights, the vertical portion of your door, and that lintel portion is the top, so it's splattered on the top, on the side, on the side. I want to either see blood drip from the top down to the threshold, Or maybe there's just blood dripping from that applicator, but if you look at it, it's the shape of a cross, is it not? I find it interesting that when you count up, go home and do your homework on this, when you count up all the tribes of Israel in the wilderness, it gives you the exact number of the tribes, who they are, their exact numbers, and how they're clumped together. And when you do that and you lay it out, do a little model, seriously, with little alphabet blocks. Lay it out. And then stand up and look down on the floor of what you just did, and it's the shape of a perfect cross. Albert Barnes tells us that when they would put the burnt offering on to the burning fire, that they would take, now this is graphic, but they would take a lamb and they would take a stave, a stake, and they would put it through the hinder part, through the animal's, it's dead, don't worry, it's dead at this point. They would put it through the animal and out through the lamb's jaw here, through the mouth, and then through behind the armpits all the way through to the other armpit, and the priest would pick it up and carry it over. Erdesheim talks about this as well, and they would place it on the burning altar as a burnt offering. And Erdesheim points out that if you raised up that as it's prescribed in Leviticus, you've got a lamb crucified on a cross. Could it be? Exodus 12:27 says, "It is the Passover sacrifice for the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, it says, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You see, it's not bread. Those things are types. Do you understand that? And then finally, John. Let's remember, as again, we were talking to our Jewish friends. I asked my one friend, I said, "Have you ever read the New Testament?" "No." I said, "Did you know it's written by a bunch of Jewish guys?" And he said, "No." So we turned to Matthew. Matthew Levi is his name, right? Yeah. Matthew Levy. But there's another good Jew, John the Baptist. He wasn't a Baptist. He didn't go to the Baptist church. It was John the Baptist. And remember, Jesus said concerning the greatest of all, it was John. And John, in John 1:29, John says, "On the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and John said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'"
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from his series called Love Beyond Measure. It's a look at the fulfilled prophecies, as well as the messianic claims and status of Jesus of Nazareth, and what it means for all of us. We'll continue with more Love Beyond Measure on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we want to let you know that this entire series, Love Beyond Measure, is all yours on DVD for a gift to Real Radio of any amount. It's a four-part series that explores the messianic claims and status of Jesus of Nazareth, also his final atonement for sin, what the Passover means, why he's called the Lamb of God, and a whole lot more. And all of them are all yours on DVD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Just call, click, or write. Just ask for it by name, the Love Beyond Measure series, Pastor Jack's collection of Passion Week lessons on DVD. We think you're going to like that. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like to send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.